4. Luke 24 and then Exodus 9. Luke 24. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray, help us understand this and help us draw closer to Thee as a result of this time, and help us to be motivated to study Your Word more, to know more about Your thoughts, and to come into agreement with Your thoughts. And I pray You'd help us be faithful to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Luke 24. The storyline is, this is after the crucifixion and the rumors of a resurrection. A couple of fellows are walking along, talking about the current events. Jesus Christ comes walking beside them and gets involved in a conversation. He doesn't make himself known to them. And they are confused about the crucifixion. The Jewish people, they overlooked the suffering of Jesus Christ, just like modern Christianity is doing the same thing. Okay, so they overlooked the suffering of Christ, and then the Lord made this comment, Luke 24:25, and He said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe 85% of what the prophets have spoken." So, what a way to start a conversation, right? You bunch of fools. "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Then he says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory?" Now, he said Christ. He didn't say Jesus Christ. He didn't say the Lord. He said Christ because that's a Jewish mindset. He was talking to Jewish people. They understood the Messiah. They overlooked the sufferings, okay? They wanted the glory, his kingdom. And then he says, and it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So he started in front of the Bible, and he just kind of glossed over it. He said, did you overlook that Noah had one door in the ark? Did you see that Isaac was offered as a sacrifice? Did you see that Joseph suffered before he became a second man under Pharaoh? Did you see that? Did you see the Passover lamb? Now, he's not saying that's me. He's not saying that. He's just throwing out these ideas. Moses, the prophets. And that really caught their attention because they're recalling these stories. So in verse 28, they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. So there's a fork on the road, or there's a place where he can go further. And it says, "And he made as though he would have gone further." You know what he's saying. He's acting like he's not going to go, he's going to go further. And this shows that Jesus Christ wants to be wanted just like you want to be wanted. And it says, "And they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went to tarry with them. So he, yeah, sure, be glad to do that. Okay, and then they had a meal, verse 30. And in verse 31, their eyes were opened when they saw how that he broke bread, because that reminded them. And then in verse 32, "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?" So he's opening some things. What do they mean by scriptures? Okay, verse 44, Jesus defines that. "He said unto them, These are the words which I have spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Okay, now the Jewish Bible divides it in three sections. Jewish people do that. I've got a copy in my office, a Jewish Bible that's been translated in English. But what I like about it, it lays out the books, what we call the Old Testament. They don't accept the New Testament. It lays them out in different order. The first five are identical, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then it puts prophets. So that could be, let's see, Joshua's a prophet. Let's see, another one, Joshua, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the minor prophets. Those are in there. Daniel is under the Psalms. So it has the Psalms would be like the what we call wisdom books. So it's the same 39 what we have, but they're in different order. And then the next verse says, then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So that when Jesus was referring to scriptures, he was referring to what we call the Old Testament. Same 39 books. Okay, so that's what they have. That's what we have. Okay, but the idea I wanted to point out in verse 25, Jesus was saying it is foolish not to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's foolish. Okay, and so that's the idea. Now, when the prophets spake, according to 2 Peter, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They spake words. And then Jesus, when he combated the temptations of Satan, on the first one, he combated that by quoting this passage, portion of Deuteronomy, where he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by half of the words of God. No, every word of God. Kind of fanatical there. Every word of God's important. The more words of God that a person believes, the more in agreement with God one becomes. And this develops a better walk with God, because Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, we try to study the Bible not to show people how smart we are, and we want to prove a point. We study the Bible because I want to find out what God thinks about something so that my thinking can get in line with his thinking, and therefore I can walk with him better. So that's the intent of that. Now, the difficulty we all have is our mortal mind trying to understand an immortal God. Our difficulty is we're limited by a small period of time. God's eternal. We have all these distractions in the world with the opinions of other people. And there's a massive confusion in churches today because of satanic counterfeits of what God said. And that's never considered or rarely considered by the churches. And that creates massive confusion. Now, a lot of ideas, for example, if you go to the Christian bookstore, there would be probably, they would probably have 20-some different versions, maybe more. There are approximately 200 through the year, through the last 100 years. But actually, like a lot of things in life, you can boil things down to two viewpoints, two opinions. Two. You can boil everything down to two, generally speaking. Elijah said to Israel, how long halt ye between two opinions? Okay, I want to use politics as an illustration, okay, where in politics, what appears to be given to you and I is two opposing viewpoints, conservative, liberal. Two viewpoints. What are the differences? Not much. Okay, now, if you get online, look up the word conservative, you'll see, read a definition possibly like this. Averse to change or innovation, holding traditional values. Okay, favoring free enterprise, private ownership, and social traditional ideas. So that's the person who developed that is kind of a dig on conservatives. A lot of times definitions, you got to kind of see who defined the word. Liberal is willing to respect or accept behavior or opinions different from one's own. Wow. I'm not willing to respect them. I'm not willing to accept them. I am willing to tolerate them. That's a difference. A liberal, open to new ideas, favoring policies that are socially progressive and promote social welfare. A progressive liberal is obviously further left. Okay, now truth be told, if you look at that, those two ideas, conservative, liberal, okay, truth be told, if you come down to the bottom line, first difference is a conservative holds strict interpretation of words. A liberal will stretch them as far as they want. And in fact, won't even read them, will claim it says something. Okay? Today, these two ideas are intermingled in various topics. Okay, and conservative Christianity, generally speaking, Christianity, Christians as a corporate body, generally will lean on a conservative side. And they will point out the hypocrisies and the liberalism of politicians who don't take the Constitution strictly. But yet when it gets to church, they'll stretch it as far as they want. So they're conservative in politics, liberal with God. And they're of the opinion that if we get conservatives in office, that's going to be better for America, which it maybe, maybe not. But that's not going to help at the judgment seat of Christ. A person can be conservative politically and not hit the judgment seat of Christ properly. Why? Because they're stretching it. They stretch the Bible. In Tennessee, the legislature just passed a law where they public officials don't have to participate in same-sex weddings. The legislature passed that. Well, that's a good thing. But in the churches, they're debating that. It's like, are you kidding me? Of all the possible genders you have available to you, there are only two. You can boil it down to two. There are only two Bibles. There are actually only two faiths. Of all these hundreds of faiths, there's really only two. There's a choice between two. That's why Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? You can get it down to that much, that few. For example, 8 days ago on a Saturday, Congress voted to send billions of dollars to Ukraine, waving Ukrainian flags. Both liberals and conservatives are on that side of the fence, so a bunch of rhinos, Republicans. In fact, the Christian in charge of the House voted for that, to give somebody else's money, fake money, waving the Ukrainian flag, and then turn around and send money to Israel. Do you know how much the Constitution says they can do that? Where in the Constitution it says they can do that? It doesn't. They don't say that at all. But you know, a lot of things going on in church that the Bible doesn't say anything about. So why is it? Yeah, and you know who God holds responsible for our country? The church. What's been going on in the church and Christian seminaries where they've been stretching the words of God, don't believe what God says for years? That's why we see in politics. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, it is foolish not to believe all that is spoken. It's foolish. Why? Because where are you going to start and stop? Where are you going to start and stop and pick? Okay? If you would, Exodus 9. Okay, now we'll run back to the front of the Bible. And I find it very profound, yet very simplistic, that you have a collection of books in the Bible, and the first one in the book is called Genesis. I think that's kind of funny. Genesis. That's the beginning of something. Oh, I think I'll call the first book in the Bible the beginning. Genesis. Now, if you look at Genesis, the first time a liberal viewpoint of what God said is found in Genesis 3, where somebody added, subtracted, or changed a word or words of what God said. They stretched it. And what happened? Sin. What happens? Suffering. And when you read through Genesis, the last five words will say, in a coffin in Egypt. From paradise to in a coffin in Egypt. From what? Being liberal with the words of God. Now, the next book is called Exodus, so you're exiting out of this bondage. Isn't that something? The next book, Exit. How do we exit out of this rat race of ending in a coffin in Egypt? That's what Exodus is all about. So the Lord takes a guy named Moses. Moses is a parallel of Jesus Christ in many ways. And so that's why Jesus began at Moses, because Jewish people put Moses as the supreme. And then Moses parallels Jesus Christ. In Exodus 9, when you read the context, I'm going to kind of pick it up here. This is when some hail is going to come down. It's going to kill anybody who's out not under shelter, including the cows. And this is where we get the common saying, until the cows come home. That doesn't mean you're supposed to have cows in your house. Okay, but even at that, okay, and Moses is telling the people, get your cows in protection, because if you don't, they're gonna get it. And there were two reactions, Exodus 9:20, and these are two attitudes that people have toward the Bible. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. So that's one attitude. They fear the word of God. They respect the word of God. They believe what it says. Okay, they pull their cattle in. The other group, and he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And then you read the rest of the story. The ones who brought them in, the cattle survived. The ones that left, they stayed out. They got pelted with hail to kill them. Those are the two attitudes. Now, the idea of not regard, regarded not, another word, disregard. So that's your two basic attitudes. One is believe, one is disregard. Now, the disregard varies. It could be 30%, where they accept 30% of the Bible. Okay, I can talk to anybody and find that they agree with the Bible to some extent. Even a Satanist. I've talked to several Satanists. Okay? And they agree with the Bible to some extent. A liberal, maybe 50%. A conservative, maybe 80%. A fundamentalist, maybe 90%. Okay? But a Bible believer says 100%. Now, we may not understand 100%, but at least we believe 100%. And if God in His grace opens our eyes to that, great, wonderful, marvelous. Now, there's another variation in here. In Proverbs 13:13, when you get a double negative, there's something going on. And it says there, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. So we have the same fear in both places. So that disregard variation goes to despise. Most people, they just disregard the Bible. They don't read it, don't care what it says. Okay, and the other is they despise it. I mean, they have a real attitude against it. Okay, that's where Pharaoh was at. So if you're in Exodus 9, if you go back to chapter 5, verse 9, this is Pharaoh's attitude, what God said through Moses. Now, there was no written Bible at the time. God is telling Moses what to say. You go tell the clown there, Pharaoh, I said this, and then he said, I don't care what he says. Exodus 5:9. Yet there, let there be more work be laid upon the men that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. So that's what he says about what the Lord said. Oh, but the Bible is full of myth. It's full of fables and myth and all this stuff. Okay, if that's true, why does it bother you so much? Okay, and so there's more to it than that. Okay, so Exodus is how a person can, as an overview of it, is how you can exit out of this bondage of the world. Now, in Exodus chapter 3, here's Moses. Now, so far in the storyline, Moses, his brother Aaron, okay, not his brother, Samuel and Jerome, that would be Curly and Shemp. Okay, so not that Moses. And so Moses and his brother Aaron, Moses had been very well educated in Egyptian schooling. He had the best education. He had military training. I mean, he was a big dog. Okay, and he tried to help out a Jewish person in a process. He killed the guy. So then a warrant was put for his arrest. So he hightailed out of Egypt. He goes across the Sinai Peninsula, comes around the northern part of the Red Sea on Aqaba side. He goes down to a place that you can find it on Google Earth called Moses Spring. Okay, and he met some women there at the spring. You're like Jesus met the woman at the well. Okay, and so he's being a shepherd now for 40 years. Now that's an education. From Egyptian education to watching sheep. You're going to learn something from sheep. Okay, I never raised sheep. We raised hogs. Hogs are the smartest domestic animal on the earth. Very intelligent animal. Ask my wife, she can give you the 8 different types of hogs, pigs, you know, swine, pig, hogs, piglet. And so, very intelligent animal. Sheep, very dumb. Okay, and so he had Moses do that. Now, in Exodus 3, he's out there watching the shepherd. He sees this bush on fire. He thought, that's intriguing. He goes over it, and a voice came out of the bush. And this is the Lord speaking to him. And so this is where you get the common saying, beating around a bush. And the Lord told him, I want you to lead Israel out of the Southern Baptist Convention, Egypt. Okay, I want you to lead them out. Get out of there. And Moses, with all this education, he had a bunch of uncertainty and a bunch of questions. He said, how am I going to do that? And then the Lord said to him, oh, by the way, chapter 3, verse 19, if you want to follow the wording, he said, oh, by the way, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Not going to happen. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. It's okay. Good. So the Lord told him who he was. I am that I am. Okay. And so Moses had this chapter. Okay, and the next chapter where the Lord is telling him this stuff. Now, you and I have an advantage of hindsight. Moses didn't have that at the time. He didn't have that. So that's why he was beating around a bush. And he was very insecure about what's going on, what I'm going to do. And he had something in his mind. There's a warrant for my arrest. Chapter 4, verse 19. And the Lord dealt with that. The Lord gave him some miracle signs that he could do. And so the Lord said, oh, I can read your mind, Mo. I can read it. And 4:19, and the Lord said unto Moses, in Midian, go return in Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Don't worry about the warrant. It's done. Go on back. So the next verse, he and his wife go on back. Okay, and then he says in verse 22, now follow the reading very close. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh. He didn't say, I would suggest to say this. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Israel is my son even, or thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Oh, wouldn't that be a great introduction? You know, Moses, thou shalt say this. Okay, verse 29, 30, 31, he gets the people. He does the miracles. The people now believe. Verse 31, they're happy, all that stuff. Chapter 5, verse 1, let's see how Moses does with this. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go that we may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but comparing those two things, I'm not seeing a complete message there. I'm seeing not 100% of what he was supposed to say. I'm seeing maybe about 50% of what he's supposed to say. Now, I'm not judging Moses because I've done the same thing myself. You know, where I didn't declare the whole word of God in certain occasions. I mean, and we all have done this. So I'm not saying Moses is a liberal. Okay, I'm just saying what happened. And notice the reaction. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not. The Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Now, when he said, neither will I let Israel go, a bell went on and the Lord said that. Right then, his faith increased from somebody discrediting the Bible. His faith in Christ. Oh, tried, he said that. Right there on the spot. And the Lord can do this for you and I anytime where you see certain things in your daily life, and all of a sudden, boom, right then, the Spirit says, did you get that? Did you get that? And your faith can increase. Right then. Ah, he didn't let him go. 5 verse 2. Why didn't he let him go? Because verse 9, he said, those are vain words. Now, Moses didn't tell the whole thing. Now, what would have happened if Moses would have said exactly what God said? There's no way of knowing. No way, no. Maybe the producers of It's a Wonderful Life can put a movie together. What would have happened if Moses would have said exactly what God said to say? So who knows how that's going to pan out. Now, if you would go to chapter 9, verse 12. In this process, the more Pharaoh rejects the word, the greater Moses' faith is increasing. You know, your faith can increase from liberals. Your faith can increase from apostates by their reaction to what this book says. Chapter 9, verse 12. I love how it's written. Of course, I love everything about how the Bible is written. And the Lord hearkened to hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened out of them. Notice the next words. As the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Just what he said. I think there's a common saying. Did I tell you? You know, chapter 9, verse 35. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken unto by Moses. Just what he said. Just what he said. Now, when we start noticing this in our daily lives, you know, where the Lord will say something and a person, wow, I never heard that before. Years ago, there's a fella that I've been dealing with, a pretty rough character. He's a Vietnam vet. He had a lot of issues. He did get saved, but that was about as far as to go. And he said, well, Pastor, I'm just trusting my heart. And I said, okay. And thinking that's the right thing, I said, now let me ask you about this. You're trusting your heart. You're going to follow your heart. Yeah. And I said, what if by chance the Bible said something a little bit different about that? He said, what do you mean? Well, let me show you this in Proverbs. It says, he that trusts his heart is a fool. I thought that was good. Now, I said, you got a choice right now. You can believe what this book says, or you can do your thing and keep trusting your heart. I said, you didn't know that, did you? Now, I didn't judge him for that. I'm just pointing it out to him. I remember the verse. The Spirit of God told me about that. Why? Because I know what this book says about my heart. It is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so he kind of had a little moment there. Had to think about that. Now, there are two reactions that you and I experience from others about how many of the words of God you believe. Okay, if you believe anywhere from 30% to 99.9%, the reaction of the Lord will say, you're foolish. The reaction of man, if you choose to believe all of them, it's not saying you understand all of it, you just choose to believe it. The answer basically is, if somebody asks you, what do you believe what the Bible says about something? The answer is, if you don't know the answer, is, I don't know the answer right now, but when I find out what the Bible says, I will believe it. Okay, and so the other result is Acts 24:14, and this I've experienced this personally. That when you believe all the words of God, all of them, the folks who believe 80 to 99%, you know, they're on the high bracket here, will call you a heretic. Because that's what they called Paul. Acts 24:14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, that they will be the very strict conservatives of Judaism, they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets. I just believe everything. And the fundamentalists call them heretics. Now, here's the beautiful thing about the Lord, okay? He wants us to believe all. God shows mercy. He takes into account our growth and our opportunities. He takes that into account. God is not concerned how far you've come. He is concerned in the direction we're going.
That's right.
And God is also understanding of our position. He knows we're mortals. He knows we're stuck in time. And in Psalm 103, it says, the Lord will not always chide with his children, yell at them, chew them out. He will not always chide with them. He remembereth that we are dust. So that's the glorious thing about God. And we should have that same attitude towards others who may have not had the opportunities we've had. Okay, so there's that. Now, here's the beautiful thing about this. If you would go to Matthew 28:6, I want to transition this to the beautiful thing of salvation. There are two basic religions in the world of all the different kinds. One is they have to do something to attain nirvana, utopia, heaven, eternal life. They have to do something. The exception is it's been done by Jesus Christ. It's been done. That's the exception. Matthew 28:6, Jesus had told the apostles on several occasions, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise from the dead. That rising from the dead, over their head, just like it would all of us. And so here come the ladies to the sepulcher, Matthew 28. And the angel is there. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. Notice what it says. He is risen as he said. He told you. Now, the apostles, he kind of chewed them out for not believing it. But as he said, come and see the place where the Lord laid. Okay, so there we go, the eternal life. Now, John, the writer of the gospel according to John, he starts off his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he says in John 1:9, that all uppercase word there, all uppercase in John. So he's talking about the written or the word, the living word, Jesus Christ. And then he said, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, uppercase L. That was John the Baptist. And he says, that was the true light, uppercase L, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So John starts off, in the beginning was a word. That word is the light. Okay, then he writes his gospel, and in chapter 20, verse 30, the reason why he wrote it is it says this, okay, where it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, just like Moses, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. Isn't that glorious? Right there. It's that simple. It's that simple. Jesus Christ is offering us an exit out of this bondage, like Moses offered it. You say, is it that easy? Believe. Now, John says in 1 John, the same writer, later on, he wrote the epistle of John, first one, 1, 2, and 3. Now, if you go to the average church and ask the people, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? The answer, the vast majority, nobody can know that. Nobody can know that. Why don't they know that? Because somebody's not telling them. 1 John 5:13, these are written. These have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. So there it is. It's that simple. Believe. Obviously, we know belief from the heart. Now, a lot of times you talk to people, they'll say, if you get talking Bible, they're going to switch it to religion. They always do. And then they'll say, well, I believe in God. Yeah, not bad. That's okay. Jesus Christ said, ye believe in God? Believe also in me. Belief in God is what the devils do. Believe in me. Believe in me. You see, it's that simple. It's not what a person does, it's what Jesus Christ has already done. That's the difference. It's not your work, it's God's work. It's not something one earns, it's a free gift. And this way, he gets the glory. We honor Jesus Christ by accepting what he's offered. And it's free by grace through faith. And that's how we can honor him. And all this goes back to what Jesus Christ said. So many people doubt their salvation. A lot of times I doubted mine a lot going through my teenage years. And all that is not believing what he said. He said eternal life. He didn't say probationary. He said everlasting life. That's a long time. Okay? And so it's that simple. And there's so many other things in the Bible that people either overlook, don't regard, and they're missing out on a closeness with the Word who will give you light to your eyes. See, and so it's just an amazing thing to me, the glory of this book. Believe, like Jesus Christ, believe all that was spoken. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help each and every one of us to believe all that is spoken, but most certainly by chance, if somebody here are uncertain about their eternal destiny, they're uncertain about eternal life, that they can see the great simplicity of the Lord Jesus Christ, believe what he said. Believe in what he did. He died, he was buried, he rose again. Believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and one receives eternal life. Boy, that's a good deal. So simple, so profound, but yet so simple. Believe all that the prophets have spoken. Lord, help us to be Bible believers, but more than anything, also to believe in eternal salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. By chance, if somebody here is not certain of that, please talk to somebody, and we'll be glad to help you with that, to show you the words about Jesus Christ, because he has done it. It's just a matter of believing it. Lord, I do thank you for this time, and I pray you'd help us be faithful to your words. In Jesus' name, amen.